Pastors really love it when we can say things a little bit about the uncertainty of life. And so it's kind of weird with this one. Like, there are a couple of things we're saying. Because it was funny. I don't know if you noticed it, Rich. The week we said things, and that week, all three teams won. So I think it's kind of funny. It was like, so here's a couple of things that I can predict with 100. It's okay, though. I'll take that. I'll take whatever I can get. I also know that I can make you say a very weird random line if I say something like, no more. I love memes, and I mean it. What I think is good. And so here's one that comes in the Christian realm. Who here believes, are you just coming down here? That they can do better in their prayer life. Like, oh yeah, isn't that great? It's super simple. I can force it. Because I talk to God on more than one occasion. But of course, in Scripture, we have this issue of prayer being praying continuously. Now, does anyone here actually do that? Very active, very specific. James is going to be finishing up his section here, his letter. He actually does a much better job than Paul does typically on ending letters. Usually by the end of Paul's letters, he's getting to the bottom of the papyrus and like he's starting to run out of room. And so he just starts saying, you know, like, be kind, do good, hate evil, say hi to this guy, bye. You know, it's really poorly ended. James, I think, planned it a little bit better, and he ends on this very strong note about prayer. He still is going to do his meandering of, here's a thought, I say something, which sparks me to say something else, which sparks me to say something else. And so we'll still have that, but I think it's really, really easy. So here's the question that I posed today, and you already know the answer, don't you? When should you pray? All the time, like that's a neat, like, this is easy. That's because you are all so spiritually mature and so wonderful, and I'm so grateful for all of you. James is going to start going into a little bit more specifics, because I think if we understand a little bit more of the why, and we understand a little bit how we react to certain things, I think that will help us to possibly increase the amount of times we are in communion with God, when we're actually just talking with him. Out of curiosity, what times of life do we typically go to God the most? During the hard times. Yeah. If things are going bad, you're usually praying a lot more, correct? Yeah. It's the same with me. I am just like you. When things are going good, I tend not to thank God for stuff, unless the thing that is good is like really good, like, ooh, something super special, like, ooh, they gave me an extra drink at Starbucks this morning and I didn't have to pay for it, or, there's a wonderful parking spot that I've been driving around trying to get into stuff, or maybe a little bit bigger. I have news of a grandchild that's going to be born to me, or, hey, I just got a new job. Those might be times that we come to God a little more frequently, but it's mainly when we're not doing well. James is going to essentially lay the groundwork to help us understand what does it mean to pray continually. What does it mean to stay in communication with God? So, James 5, 13 to the end. Woo! Nearing the end. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. So we've covered the two biggest ones. When you're happy, when things are going good, you should be singing, you should be praising God. I know some of you are like, well, I'm not a really good singer. That's a cop-out. If I started singing Who Lives in a Pineapple Under the Sea, how many of you would be able to sing along very loudly with me? Right? Yeah. We would be singing with joy in our heart the SpongeBob SquarePants theme song. So I know that you have it in you, but I know that sometimes we get into times here that we don't feel that way. So when things are good, when things are bad, you're supposed to be praying. I think the first one's pretty simple. When you're in trouble, you should pray. When things are not going well, you should pray. Is anyone having a hard time in life? Anyone here? Anyone having a hard time in life? Yeah. And this is the fun part of pastors. You know, pastors get to say, when you're in trouble, when things are difficult, when it's challenging, when you're hurting, when you're struggling, when you can't pay the bills, when marriages are falling apart, when jobs seem tenuous, when everything seems strained, when you're sick of watching political ads on the TV, all of these things, if you are in trouble, pray. And much, well, maybe that's a good time to pray. I'll take those prayers, by the way. A lot of people say, well, that seems like a hokey time to pray, right? Like, oh, Lord, I didn't do this right. Please help me. It's good that you're still talking to God because it helps you see that God is part of your everyday life. If you are in trouble, you should be praying. If you are hurting, you should be praying. If things are challenging, you should be praying. This is the easy one. 100% certain God will hear you. Period. Now, I don't know if he'll answer the prayer in the way that you want him to. I don't know if he'll miraculously give you facts and figures in your brain because you didn't study the night before. I don't know if he'll repair a marriage. I don't know if he'll actually let you win the lottery the way you pray. I don't know if he'll allow the rain to come as we would want. But we still pray. We pray when we're in trouble, and we pray when we're happy. When things are going good, do you ever feel, this happens to me sometimes when I listen to preachers, because we always love to focus on when things are pretty good right now. I'm actually kind of happy. Like, life is good. My bank account isn't fully and completely dry. My marriage is going pretty nicely. I'm having great communication. My football team is winning, and this is wonderful. The boy that I asked out said yes. There's times that you come to church and you're happy, right? Yeah. Don't ever manufacture stuff. Mentioned this many, many, many years ago, but that's why we sing. And worship songs really kind of delve into two camps. So if you're singing, and I'm not talking contemporary and traditional, no. Traditional, contemporary, Maranatha, The Deer Is Still Thirsty, all of those things have two ways of speaking. They are either going to be something good about God, or it's going to be a prayer to God. So, great are you, Lord. Is that a prayer about God or a prayer to God? Yeah, it's a prayer to God. Great are you, Lord. We're speaking to God. So are you praising? Are you praying? Like, if you're happy and you're singing? And again, guys, you can sing softly. In fact, probably the people around you will appreciate it. But that's okay if you also sing loudly. I grew up singing loudly. I have a terrible voice. But I can sing low, so that's why I get called in to sing like bass parts during choir things. But they're like, Mark, you can only go to about here, and then it's terrible. Because when I grew up, we sat in the front row, and my mom, I'm pretty certain, like, she would be qualified and diagnosed as being tone deaf. It was painful. It was, yeah. My wife knows that. She sat next to her a couple times, and it was always funny because us as kids, we had start the singing, and all of us kids were just going to, you know, start moving away. Mom, this is really bad. But you know what? She sang praises to God, and what a wonderful thing. Stop worrying about what you sound like. No one cares. That's the whole reason why Jason just turns up the volume a little bit on the sound. Like, you can sing. No one's going to be bothered by it, okay? Sing praises to God. Don't just do it at church. I mean, if you really are a bad singer, then sing in your car privately. No one else is going to be bothered by it. Keep the windows rolled up. You're good. Sing in the shower. There's great acoustics in there. But let your heart, if you are happy, if God is good to you, why are we like the 9 lepers who were healed that didn't go back and just said, hey, thanks God for that. I really appreciate that. In the big stuff, but in the little stuff. When small things happen and God is good to you, just stop it. Now, I'll say this too, because he's not going to go into it, but I think this is an important thing to say, especially when it comes to prayer. You do not have to be lengthy in your prayers, correct? Right, yeah. I lead worship. When it's our turn to pray, we usually go on for a little while, right? Deborah, did your dad do that? He just goes on and on and on and on. And you start to think to yourself, is that the only way I can pray to God? No! Dear Lord, thank you for the rain. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You can just stop and say, God, thank you for the rain. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the bountiful blessings that we have, that you have bestowed rain on us. And thank you, Lord, as we see this blessing of rain, we know that the blessings that you have also pour down. And we come up with these great things, and we could just simply say, thanks for the rain, right? And all of you are like, so why don't you actually do that? Well, maybe we should try every now and then. But guys, this is the reason why we have a hard time praying, is we hear, and also guys, we typically say, well, yeah, I guess that would be, yeah. What was that? Oh, no, yeah, it's not a stereotype. I'm just saying that usually women talk more than men. Well, see, and you might be saying, yeah, thank you for that, Joshua. I greatly appreciate that. Yeah. I'm saying that sometimes now, if you are a talkative man, Harold would be one of them. Rich, you're one of those. You know, it maybe comes a little bit easier to talk. But guys, don't be all freaked out. If you're having a hard time at work, God help me. Help me at my work. My job, my boss is an idiot. Pray it. Dear God, I'm really struggling today because I'm really depressed. It could be that simple. It could be that when you're happy, when you're sad. And then the time that we often think about is what happens when you're sick. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Amen. I realized it was pointed out to me by two people, and so I want to make sure. I'm really glad that the way everything worked, I got to get this again. Because a couple of weeks ago, I talked about, you know, be careful of selfish prayers, right? What you pray for healing for someone. And there's probably a modicum of selfishness, because you want that person to be better, you want them to live, you want them to be okay, because you would miss them if they were gone. And I said within that is there's probably some mixed motives. But I wanted to make sure and say this very clearly. Still pray. Praying for the healing of someone, we can say, even if it is 100% certainty, because here James takes what he had said before and he's now saying, look, if someone's sick, why don't you pray for him? And there's also ways that when we pray, we can let people know that there is this actual... I always feel bad when I'm praying for someone and maybe I don't feel it, or maybe the person receiving the prayer doesn't. This is the whole reason, again, why we love things like communion. We put out bread and wine. Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood. And when you come there, you can actually grab that piece of bread. You taste it, you smell it, you smell the wine. It's in this incredible act, you know God is present. And I find it interesting that if I actually sent home with you the bottle, you open it up for communion, and you take it home, and do you know what you're going to think of? You're going to think of the goodness of God. I know it's not a good flavor. I know it's Manischewitz wine that we buy, which, again, you can buy. You can get it at Vaughn's. It's only like $5.99 a bottle. But if you took, we don't really have that with prayer except for what he says here about calling the elders and anointing them with oil. I'm being medicinal back in that day, that this was a medicinal use. It could pop, like when you're sick, who do you normally call? Call a doctor. And you call your mommy too, and she'll help you make up some chicken noodle soup. He's in a medicinal thing. He's doctor and have him anoint you with oil. He's not saying this is go to people you trust and ask them to anoint you with oil. So we're going to do this today. The vicar's going to put the table here, and he's going to have this, and I'm going to be over there, and I'm going to have some oil with me. It's not like Pennzoil or anything. It actually smells good. Some of you are like, yeah, Pennzoil might be good. This one, obviously, he's saying with... And this is what I want you to know. But is that the way it only has to happen? So I'm not going to limit it. Like, hey, I just pray to God together, and I'll anoint you with oil. And then as you smell that, you'll always be reminded of that. I'm having, or if your things are not going well, I'm having problems at school. I'm being bullied. I hurt. I don't have any friends. And if you're sick, come and get anointed with oil. And the idea with that is it's going to stick around, leave. I often forget. Sometimes I remember, and I'll ask you later on, like, well, how are things going? But I feel this, like, greasy thing on your forehead. And I know you're going to be worried, like, is it going to cause me acne or anything like that? If it does, that's fine. That'll be another reminder of God's mark on your life. But this is important at Searchlight. We did something really crazy very early on. Got anointed with oil, and my cup overflows. And there's this phrase about how it goes to the actually evidence that when they did the anointing, it wasn't with just like a little bit of oil and they put it on their forehead or something. No, they had a gallon of Crisco on my body. I was standing in a little kiddie pool. He poured it over my head, and I was soaked. Now, this is what was crazy. First of all, don't ever do that. It's really disgusting and gross. But second of all, at the time, That pair of jeans that I was wearing, and I still smelled like a French fry. It was crazy. But I would put on the pair of jeans, and I'm like, oh, man, I've been anointed by God. It stays with, and then all throughout today, longer. And that's what I'm hoping with the oil that I got. I'm just going to put it on your forehead, and God is with me. Now, people are going to... wonder a very important distinction that when you are praying, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your very important thing and pray for each other so that you might be healed. And you don't know who Jesus is, you getting healed does nothing for you. It's not going to be ultimately beneficial. How many times did Jesus, when he would encounter someone and there would be this person that was paralyzed since birth, and he would look at him, the paralyzed person, son, your sins are forgiven. I often wonder about my sins. I would rather walk. Now, we never have an encounter where later on Jesus does the healing anyway. But again, for Jesus, if he's going to heal you, the first thing he needs to heal you of is your other affliction called sin. All of it. The evil part of your life, which is if you have the forgiveness of sins and still die of whatever, you are in heaven forever. But you don't have salvation. Ultimately, it really does nothing for you. God with this will be the forgiveness. And I'm going to try and remember that as I anoint you with oil. I'm going to say, you have been forgiven in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you might be like, well, that's awfully rude. I didn't even confess my sins. Well, you need that first, okay? And then I need that as well for someone to say, you are forgiven, Mark, because you are terrible and you are correct. Now, why the elders of the church... Why should they be called on? And he goes, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Which is true. It's in the Bible, so I have to say this is true. Prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Question, raise your hand. Oh, this is going to be great, because now you're going to be, now comes the trick questions. You're like, the other ones were easy. When should I pray? All the time. Raise your hand if you are a righteous person. Oh, wait. What was that?
Righteous in Christ.
Well, I didn't qualify whether it was righteous in Christ or righteous in your own stuff. Would it be easier if I said, who here is righteous in Christ? Oh, now you're a little more confident. Okay, all right, I get that. So let me ask it again. Raise your hand if you are. Well, what I'm essentially saying is if you're a Christian, raise your hand, right? If you are a Christian, you are righteous. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This is important. If there is something wrong in your life, I love it when you let me know. I'll pray for you. I'll send it off to other people to pray for you. But did you know that your prayers are just as effective as mine? Unless you are not righteous. So I know that sometimes we end up putting pastors or church workers up on a higher pedestal saying, well, I don't know how many times I hear this, well, if you pray, then God will actually listen. What? Who told you that? I'll tell you this. This is not arrogance. When I pray, God listens to me. You can say the same thing. You don't need me. You know why you don't need me? It's because you have Jesus. If you have Jesus, that's the mediator. I'm not the go-between. If you come to me and you say, please pray for me, I will pray for you, but I sure hope you're already praying. Except of, well, I need to have a bunch of righteous people praying for me. It's like, well, I got like 99 righteous people are praying for me, and God's like, sorry. Threshold is 100. I'm going to have to really ignore this. No, the reason why we let people know and the reason why we share is because this is also a burden that we give to other people, because you can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. It's us talking to one another and saying, I'm needing help. And maybe there isn't anything I can do for you physically. James says, if you can do something for them physically, do that. But then also be praying. Lift each other up. I love what he goes on next. He's going to give this example. I think he's starting again to wander. But Elijah. Who would agree with this statement? Elijah was a man just like us. If you know the story of Elijah, you're like, I don't think he's a man just like us. He seems to be a little bit more special. Does anyone know the most famous thing that Elijah did? It had to do with a bunch of false prophets of Baal. What was that? Yeah, he called. So he was really upset. He was upset at God, and he's like, you know, there's not a lot of righteous people, and so he's really struggling. And God's like, I'm going to be with you. And so Elijah, through God's power, God's spirit, challenges a bunch of prophets of Baal to pray off. Why don't we do that anymore? That would be really interesting. No, it'd probably be really bad. I'm going to call down from heaven, you know, your God, and then all of it's a Baal. So it wasn't about numbers, right? Because it was them versus Elijah, right? And so they're chanting, they're dancing, they're whooping, they're hollering, they're doing all this stuff, and they're even cutting themselves. They're like shedding their own blood. They're like really trying to work themselves. Have you ever done that in prayers too? Yeah, I'm sorry, sometimes I do that too. I get a little excited in a prayer, and I kind of go turn a little Pentecostal on you, and I start saying amen. And Elijah... See, this is where I do like Elijah, because Elijah is a little bit like, well, he actually might be actually on the toilet right now. You should probably yell a little louder. This is actually true. That is in the Bible. You should check it out. It is hilarious. He's mocking them like, he's in the potty. Sorry, can't hear you. And so they're doing it loud, and soon they're totally exhausted. And so then Elijah takes the offering that's there, and they're like, well, okay, you do it, Elijah. And Elijah's like, okay. Over and over and over and over and over again. And then they even dug trenches, because like there was so much water, like everything is just soaked. And Elijah quietly prayed, and down came lightning, down came fire, and it consumed everything. Has anyone ever done that before, out of curiosity? No? Yeah, I would love to. I've told you this. I've tried this before. You know, it's more superstitious, like, there's the remote control across the way. And it's probably more of my Star Wars love than my love of Jesus Christ that ends up doing that. But I've tried to do some miraculous things, and yeah, I've never prayed for an entire altar to be consumed. how is he just like us? There was another time where he actually prayed for rain for 3 years, and then he prayed for no rain for 3 years, and it happened. And you're probably thinking, maybe there's an Elijah in California right now, and finally we've broken him, and he can allow some rain to show up. Elijah's just like you and me. Do you know why I know that? After he has this incredible encounter with these prophets of Baal, after he has seen the lute on his life from one person, granted she was the most evil person who has ever lady, and he goes into a deep, dark depression. And he also started to get weary, and he started complaining even more. God, I'm tired. And the answer is yes. Elijah's he's just a man. The disciples were people just like you. Long. They don't need to be drawn out. They don't need to be fancy. You don't need to say fancy words. We have to say fancy, regular words. That's fantastic. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly. He prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. And I'm going to prove it right now. Has prayed. We'll even keep it specific. Who here has prayed for? Okay, now so keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Skeptics. Skeptics. Prayer doesn't work. For one, right? It's not like every single time you pray, something cool happens. But it does happen. God is good. He will heal. He does do miracles, even today. I'm not promising you that he's going to, but if you are sick, about to give up, and you are crying out to God like Elijah, Lord, just let me die. Pray. Some strength for something coming up because you're about to go through a horrible time in your life. You're like, oh, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. Pray, and I'll pray. And we'll see what God does, because I'm telling you, I've watched as God has done, and it wasn't me, but it was one of those where this young lady, she's been struggling in her life. She grew up in the church, but she was struggling with her faith. She was struggling to self-medicate with alcohol. She started engaging in extremely risky behaviors. And it was tragic watching. I realized that there was one point, I remember years later I was talking to her, and she said, my life. I was done. I couldn't do it anymore. And I'm like, well, obviously it didn't work. You're still here talking to me, so please tell me the story. And she said, I had woken up, I had the plan all set and ready to go, and I was crying out to God, and I'm like, well, that's a good thing. Crying out to God is a great thing. And so she said, I finally said, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to kill myself right now. And she said, Pastor Manning, you will not believe what happened. I said, try me. I believe some pretty crazy stuff. And she said, I was paralyzed. I told my body to move, and I could not move. And I'm like, what do you mean, like, paralyzed? Like, I could not move. I was frozen on my bed. And I just sat there crying because I knew it was God saying, your life is precious and you are not going to end it today. You still have stuff to do. You still have plans in your life. Do you have stories like that? I bet you do. I bet we all do. Don't ever think that God is not in the business of answering prayers. We pray and we pray and we pray. And when we're praying, we don't get the job that we were asking for. We keep praying. We don't get the release from the addiction that we're battling. We keep praying, right? We don't ever stop. When should we pray? All the time. Every time. Pray, pray, pray. When you read through miracles in Scripture, when you see God working through ordinary people, these people are just like you. Stop discounting yourself. Stop saying my prayers are better than your prayers. They're not. They just use fancier terms. They are not more effective or less effective than yours. He comes to this ending, which again, there's a little bit of a break, but you can really kind of hear his heart. One of the biggest challenges in churches are those who fall away from the church. One of the hardest people, they've actually done studies on this, the hardest people to get back into church are those who have walked away willingly. And it's a challenge because we often know when that time period of life takes place, right? You can guess it too, right? The biggest drop-off that happens is high school through college through young adult. Sometimes there's movement back into the church when there's marriages and children, and they're like, oh my gosh, what do I do? How do I raise this child? Well, I got an idea. Let's go back to church. And that's a wonderful thing when that happens. But it's so hard once someone has been a part of a fellowship and then walked away, it is darn near impossible to get them back. So I think we should give up. Oh, good. Yeah. People are like, what's wrong with you today? My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Quick raise of hands. Who? No? Now I am crazy. No one plans it. If I asked that question of people who wandered away from the faith, what would they have said? They would have said, yeah, I never thought I would step away from God. I never thought that I would reject it. I sometimes read passages like this and I go, whew, I'm so glad I'm never going to wander from the faith. Careful there, Manning. Same thing with you. If you're listening to this saying, oh, well, I'm really glad I haven't wandered from the faith, some of you might. Some of you do this. It happens. We're even going to say, I chose it specifically for the communion song. We're going to sing the words. And you're going to sing and be like, oh, I've heard these words 1,000 times. No, they're very powerful. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Right? All. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up on your faith. Please, I'm begging you, do not give up on someone who has wandered from the faith and you just want to write them off. Please don't. Pray for them. Pray that they come back. Pray that God uses you to go get them. Careful. Again, you start praying, it's a dangerous thing to pray because God will not just do things, but he's going to involve you in it. It's incredible when he does that. Pray for those who've lost and stepped out. We'll do that today as well. When it comes time for communion, and you come to me over here, you don't have to. Sometimes I know people get a little wiggy, like, oh, you know, so-and-so just went and saw Pastor Manning. I wonder what's going on in their life. Something bad, apparently. Maybe they're having marriage problems, or maybe they're secretly sick. They've got cancer. And you start theorizing all these things. Maybe they're praying for someone else, or maybe they're praying for someone who has walked away from the faith. Don't like, I say that to you so that you don't feel weird coming and getting prayer. A lot of people are weird about that. Don't be weird about when to pray. When should you pray? All the time, every day, for everybody, for every reason. And as you continue to do this, you will see what God does in your life. If your prayers are selfish, still pray. If your prayers are short, still pray. If your prayers are clumsy, still pray. If your prayers are grunts and groans and intelligible words because you're racked in pain, because you can't stop the sobbing and tears are flowing from your eyes and you're not making any sense to any human being on this planet, pray. Because I know this, God is always listening. Let's pray right now. Lord, thank you for always being with us. And let my prayer be short. We love you and thank you for loving us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.